Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, Mike?
Okay, Mark. We're going to carry on our discussions of the ACCORD study. I'm going to refer our listeners to last week's poem where we actually talked a little bit about the design of the ACCORD study and looked specifically at the impact on lipids. This week, we're going to change our focus a little bit to looking at blood pressure. The ACCORD study, again, this large study of type 2 diabetics, over 10,000 people. This is an article published in the New England Journal of Medicine, asks a simple question. Is a lower blood pressure target better at preventing adverse cardiovascular events in patients with type 2 diabetes? The old is lower better. What did the authors find, Mark?
Yeah, this was yet another study from ACCORD, and as with the study we discussed last week, if they took about half the patients and put them in the lipid trial, and those who were left over, a lot of them ended up in the blood pressure portion of the trial. And so these were patients 40 to 79 with heart disease or 55 to 79 with at least two cardiovascular risk factors. And again, they all had type 2 diabetes. Everyone had an initial systolic blood pressure between 130 and 180. And they were taking no more than three blood pressure medicines. And they had no significant proteinuria, less than 1 gram per day of proteinuria. They were randomized to a systolic blood pressure target of either try to get it under 120 or try to get it under 140. And the primary outcome was, again, that composite of all bad cardiovascular things. And they also looked at all sorts of other composites and all-cause mortality and lots of outcomes. They didn't specify which cardiovascular, which blood pressure drugs you had to take. That was more or less up to the clinicians. At the end of the study, 80% of the patients in the intensive care, the 120 group, were taking a diuretic. About 60% were taking a beta blocker, 60% an ACE, 42% a calcium channel blocker, 40% an ARB, and then smaller percentages alpha blockers and reserpine. The rates for patients in the 140 group, not surprisingly, were about 8 to 24% lower for each group, so they didn't have to take as many drugs. And after 1 year, patients in that 120 target group were taking an average of 3.4 drugs versus only 2.1 drugs in the less intensive group. And the drugs did work. I mean, the average systolic blood pressure in the intensive therapy group was 119, and it was 133 in the standard therapy group. So in a way, this was a comparison of 119 to 133, really, as the final result, even though the targets were 120 versus 140. At the end of the five-year period, there was no difference in the primary outcome for any of the composites, any of the individual outcomes other than stroke. There was no difference in 9 subgroup analyses, no difference in all-cause mortality. Like I said, there was a small difference for stroke. The difference was 0.2% per year in mortality, which is a number needed to treat of about 100 over 5 years. So you'd have to treat 100 people for 5 years who were this high risk to prevent one stroke. There were more serious adverse events, though, like hypotension and syncope and bradycardia and renal failure in the intensive therapy group, and the number needed to harm there was only 50 over 5 years. So, you know, there's a trade-off, and again, when you're making all these comparisons, certainly you can understand there would be a biologically plausible reason to think, you know, if you treat blood pressure more intensively, maybe you'd reduce the risk of stroke, but it comes at a cost as well. So given that there's an increased risk of adverse events, a very small benefit in terms of stroke, no benefit otherwise, really looks like there's no benefit to a more aggressive 120 millimeter target than a target of 140 with an average overall of 133.
So, again, am I on the right page here by saying that for every 100 patients that we treat for this with a you know, very small benefit, we're going to be causing harm to 2?
Yeah, exactly. That's one way of looking at it. It's over 5 years, for every 100 people you treat more aggressively, you prevent one stroke, but you cause two of these other adverse events. Now, I'll take an episode of bradycardia and a little hyperkalemia instead of a stroke. So they're not apples and apples, exactly. But yeah, some of those were more serious. Renal failure, syncope, some of those were more serious adverse events. But so they're not exactly equivalent. But yeah, there's definitely a trade-off. And that's a very small absolute benefit. And, you know, you're talking about having to take an extra 1.5 drugs or 1 1/3 drugs on average for 5 years. You know, there's also a burden just in terms of complexity and inconvenience, you know, do that as well.
And a cost. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think we've done three studies on Accord, and all three of them have come to sort of a same conclusion. We talked a little bit about pushing for lower hemoglobin A1Cs below 7. We looked at adding a fibrate to a statin, and now we've looked at aggressively lowering blood pressure. And perhaps in all three of them, the take-home message is that being more aggressive with these patients really doesn't add much benefit.
That's right. On average, it certainly doesn't. And I think we have to individualize care. You know, maybe there are patients, for whatever reason, they want to be more aggressive, or they're more comfortable with a prettier number. But I think we have to realize we shouldn't put the burden on all of our patients to make them feel like they have to apply with this. And certainly, I'm not convinced that any of those more aggressive therapies provide any benefit, and you know, really would be, I think, good enough care is what our patients need, and I think we'd do much more good getting more people to a hemoglobin A1C of 7.5% rather than trying to hammer them down to 6, and making sure that patients are just, you know, put the simvastatin 20 milligrams in the drinking water rather than, you know, trying to hammer down the triglycerides and get their HDL from 33 to 36.
Excellent. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week.
Can't wait. Talk to you then.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.